Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, we complete our study. This is the fifth of the segments on Ruth, and we'll start in verse 13 as we look at this little piece of paper. Gives us the title, She's a Hero, Ruth is, Trust the Work of God's Invisible Hand. We've been walking with our hero, Ruth, and she is an immigrant widow that came from the pagan land of Moab because she was being faithful and loyal to her mother-in-law, Naomi. She comes to God's place and God's people, and she becomes a beggar in a field. But that field happens to be owned by a man named Boaz, and Boaz turns out to be a relative, and he becomes her kinsman redeemer. We studied last time that a kinsman redeemer is really a picture of Jesus, and that's who Boaz really represents, Jesus. So mark this down, would you, on your outline? Trust that your redeemer is working for you. Trust that your redeemer is working for you. We made the proclamation last week, I know my Redeemer lives, I know my Redeemer loves me, and I know my Redeemer is working on my behalf. And we have certainly seen that happen with Ruth and Boaz. Ruth and Boaz met on the threshing floor at night, and evidently there was not only an invitation to be a kinsman redeemer, but there was a spark of romance. They get married. They are blessed with a son. That son is named Obed. And we all know that there's nothing greater than the blessing of a child coming into your family. It reminds me of the story of these three expectant fathers that were in the maternity ward waiting for their wives to give birth. And the nurse walks in and she makes the proclamation. She says to Father One, congratulations, your wife has just delivered twins. He said, that's unusual. I work for the Minnesota Twins. In a few more moments, another nurse comes in and she makes the loud announcement to expectant father number two, congratulations, your wife has just delivered triplets. He said, that's amazing. I work for 3M Corporation. Well, about that time, the third expectant father stands up and he screams. And he's about to run out of the waiting room, and the two guys grab him, and they said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, guys, I work for 7-Up. Well, it may be one son or seven, but we're going to learn today that for Naomi, her grandboy was going to be better than seven sons. Well, let's plunge into the story and see how God is working in the life of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child, she laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, who is then the father of David the king. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us, like Ruth, to detect the working of your invisible hand. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way today and allow your spirit to take the transforming truth of your word and apply it to every receptive heart. I pray for this in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Now, let me quickly explain to you that God generally works in two ways. Number one, he works through miracles, and then he works through providence. God can work through a miracle. He can come to the center stage, show up and show off in your life, can't he? God can work through a miracle, by suspending natural laws and intervening. For instance, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, one of the great miracles of the Bible is the parting of the Red Sea. So God intervened in the nature, and the sea opened up, and the people walked across on dry land. That's a miracle of God. Our Jesus, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and in John chapter 11, Jesus shows up, and Lazarus was stone cold dead. And yet he steps up to this grave that was a cave, and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus miraculously comes back to life. You see, God intervened in that miraculous moment. God suspended the laws of nature. Now, that is a miracle, but God also works through providence. That's when his invisible hand is at work. Let me use Clint Eastwood as an example of God. That's a stretch, but anyway, Clint Eastwood sometimes is a movie actor, and you'll see him on the screen in front of everybody, and he's acting in front of you. You can see him. But Clint Eastwood is also a director, and sometimes he never appears on the screen, but he is directing the storyline behind the scenes, and that's how God works. The invisible hand of God is at work, and that's what's happening here in the book of Ruth. There are no overt, outright miracles in the book of Ruth. Nobody raised from the dead, water is not parted, and yet the providential hand of God is at work. Always remember this, the word providence, let's break it down. Pro means over. Vidence means to watch, like a video is something you watch. So when you fuse them together, providence means to watch over. This simply means that God is not removed. He is not an uninterested spectator. He is engaged in our lives. God is working all things together for good, for those who love and serve him. He is working so that we'll look like Jesus. Well, here's what I want us to do. Let's look at three people's lives, Naomi, Ruth, and Obed, and let's begin with Naomi's lesson. Number one, Naomi's lesson. God cares for us even when we are bitter. Would you make that note? God cares for you even when you are bitter. Now, this final verse is interesting. They bring the baby to Naomi, and they lay the baby, her grandson, on her lap. Now, remember, the name Naomi means pleasant. And yet, she went out, and she engaged with Elimelech and essentially backsliding. She is a picture of a backslidden Christian. She drifted away into disobedience. And what's the result? Well, there were funerals, there was heartache, heartbreak, and she finally comes back home. But when she comes home, look on your outline. It says in Ruth 1, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty." You see, she was a bitter person. She was an empty person, but God showed up, and here comes a little grandbaby named Obed, and she says, "My name is no longer bitter. My name is Granny." And everything changed in that moment. She went from bitter to a whole lot better because of a baby. Now, friends, I'm not sure where you are today. Maybe there's a gauge in your spiritual and emotional well-being that is registering over here. On blessings, it's on empty, and on bitter, it's on full. It doesn't have to stay that way. You see, the God of the universe who loves you and is engaged in your life, he wants to be your redeemer. He wants to work things out for you if you'll keep trusting his invisible hand. Which brings us to the action plan. Please make this note. Here was what Naomi did. Action plan. Investing yourself in future generations. Do you see that Naomi found her happiness in now caring for her grandson? You've heard the expression, get a new lease on life. That's exactly what happened with Naomi. She got a new lease on life. She gets a second chance to be a parent. She's going to take care of Obed. Can't you just see her nurturing that little baby? Telling little Obed as he grows up about the Lord and how God had worked when they conquered the city of Jericho, and his grandmother's name was Rahab, And Solomon married Rahab, and then imagine the story she told that little Obed about going over into Moab and the experiences there and how God broke them and brought her back, and how Obed is the most special little boy in all the world, that the hand of God is upon him. That's amazing, isn't it? That you would have the privilege to parent again as a grandparent. Now, let me take a quick survey. How many people are grandparents? Would you raise your hand? I'm a grandparent. We got a few out there. Now, I have four grandkids, and then, Lord willing, we're going to have a fifth one because my Sarah, living in Kentucky, is expecting for Thanksgiving. So we could have five grandkids. And I'm telling you, it is such a blessing to have these grandchildren. You know what they say about grandchildren? Grandchildren are the reward you get for not killing your children. I've heard them say that. I've heard them say that if you knew grandchildren, they were just so fun. If you would have known that the grandchildren were going to be this good, you'd have had them first. But of course, that's not how it works. And then there's that great quip about, you know why they call them grandchildren? They are grand when they come and they are grand when they leave. There are some people who say that. But here's the point. A grandparent steps in a lot of times when that young parent is in survival mode. You've had that baby, you're overwhelmed. I was talking to a young mother the other day out in California when I went to visit our new little grandson, and she said she had her little baby 2 months ago, and the first week she never changed clothes. She just was like all out taking care of this baby, afraid she was gonna kill it. And so, you know, she was just apoplectic about being a new mom. But then a grandparent shows up. You get a little more time and experience and wisdom, and you can kind of soothe that young parent, and you can almost second parent that child. That's what grandparents are supposed to do. Oh, you're supposed to teach that grandchild about faith in Christ and what it means to be a real believer and reinforce what that parent is teaching. You're supposed to have fun with those kids. James is not supposed to eat French fries, but when he's with me, he can eat all that he wants. Yeah. He says, Poppy, let's go to McDonald's again. You bet, pal, let's go. You know, that's my job, to have fun, feed him bad food. It's my job to take care of him. It's my job to help them financially. That's why you ought to do legacy planning and estate gifting. Oh, I've done that because I want to bless the body of Christ, but I'm also planning to bless my families. So you ought to get ahead of it. You see, that's what grandparents ought to do. And it might give you a new lease on life. That's what happened for Naomi. Now, you may be saying, Pastor, sorry, I'm not a grandparent. I'm not even a parent. Well, you can still invest in the future when you touch the lives of children. You could work in our preschool department here at First Baptist. You could teach Sunday school. You could help with mission friends or the mission programs like RAs or GAs. You could do the tutoring of a child. We've been doing that for over 25 years. And not only has that blessed countless children, it's changed the lives of many a tutor. You can work in vacation Bible school. You can do the music programs here. You see, you can coach a baseball team. Do you know one of my son Jason's favorite Sunday school teachers of all times? He told me and repeated this the other day, is Charlie Lynn. Charlie Lynn's 90 years old, but he was still teaching Sunday school. He taught teenage Sunday school for 50 years, and my son said my all-time favorite Sunday school teacher was Charlie Lynn in his 70s. So I'm here to tell you that if you want a new lease on life, if you want to be energized and engaged, then invest in future generations. Number two, this is the Ruth lesson. All the resources of our Redeemer are available to us. All the resources of our Redeemer are available to us. You see, Ruth pictures a new Christian. She was a stranger from a foreign land, and she comes from Moab to Bethlehem, and she becomes part of God's family. She encounters Boaz, the kinsman Redeemer. Now, who is Boaz? Boaz is Jesus. So when Ruth meets Boaz and marries Boaz, she goes from working in the field to owning the field. She goes from the bottom to the top, from the tail to the head. She goes from cursed to blessed because she meets her kinsman redeemer, Boaz. Now, that's a picture of what happens to us when we connect to Jesus and we become part of God's family. Please, again, on your outline, look at Romans 8, verse 32. This is what happens. You see, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, that's what you get when you get Jesus. You get access to his resources. Now, wouldn't this be crazy? What if Ruth one day came to Boaz and said, "Hey, Boaz, this morning I'm going to go out into the field and I'm going to glean some barley and wheat so that I can get a handful of grain and make bread for us for supper tonight." And Boaz would no doubt look at her cockeyed and say, "Ruth, have you lost your mind? You don't have to go beg in the field and glean for grain. You own the fields because I'm married to you. We've got barns full of grain. Why would you want to go beg? That doesn't make any sense." So this brings us to the action point. Please mark it down. The action point is claim and share God's blessings. Scripture tells us in Philippians 4:19 that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So our job is to claim and then to share God's blessings. Boaz would have been insulted if Ruth would have gone back out into the field to glean wheat. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, and you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion." You see, we are not beggars. We are blessers. God has given us everything that we need so that we can be a blessing to others. I read this funny true story about a couple who had just gotten married, and they were going to go on an extended honeymoon, but they drove over to Atlanta after their wedding, and they were staying in an Atlanta nearby airport hotel. Well, it was late at night. They arrived later than they thought. And they got into their hotel room, they got the room key, they went upstairs, and they were so disappointed because it was a small room, and all they could find was a sofa that was a sleeper, and they popped it out. They finally found some sheets. They had a tiny bathroom. They were just so worn out that they didn't worry about it and got up the next morning to go catch their airplane, and the new husband decided to complain. So he went down to the manager at the desk, and he said, "You know, we thought we had a nice room, and we just had this tiny room, tiny bathroom, and a sofa sleeper." And the manager said, "We upgraded you to the honeymoon suite. Did you not open the door to the rest of the suite?" He said, "I thought that was a closet door." He said, "No, there was a king-size bed. There was a jacuzzi in there. There was a luxury bathroom. There was all this complimentary food that we had for you. And you failed to open the door and access our gifts to you." Now, friends, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2, we have not because we ask not. I'm convinced that one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to find this huge storage room called the Warehouse of Unclaimed Blessings. Things that we could have received if we would have done James 4:2, asked. You see, we're not beggars. We are designed to be blessed so we can be a blessing. But let me show you one last truth here. This is the Obed lesson. God is always working to accomplish his plan. God is always working to accomplish his plan. What is God's plan? It is to redeem. It is to rescue his fallen creation. And sometimes he does it by bringing a baby, doesn't he? That's what happens here. You see, Obed arrived in Bethlehem because God orchestrated it. God worked out the details to bring this baby into the world, to bring this baby to Bethlehem, because he knew that 1,300 years in the future, there would be another little baby that Mary and Joseph would bring to Bethlehem named Jesus. So God is always at work to accomplish his plan. His invisible hand is directing and orchestrating the details. Look at Isaiah 46. "I am God. There is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. What have I said that I will not bring about? What have I planned that I will not do?" You see, friends, this is God at work. He is going to take care of his children. You see, his invisible hand, you could call it a coincidence or a divine incident. His invisible hand stops that automobile from running the red light that could have hit you. His invisible hand stays a sickness or a disease. His invisible hand draws two people together. I did a precious wedding yesterday for Jeannie Summerlin and Austin Gaines. They met in this room on February 23rd, 2014. Now, Jeannie almost didn't come to church that day. She was running a little late. She thought, I won't know anybody. But somebody had invited her, and so she came, and she sat right over in that neighborhood about where Larry Chapman is. And so who would she sit down beside because she was running late but this big, handsome, young CPA named Austin Gaines? It pays to come to church, friends. Just mark it down. It can pay off big. You might meet the Lord, but you might meet your future husband or wife. So she says, he was the nicest guy I'd ever met. And I just broken up with a really rotten, rascally bum. And so I met Austin. And the next thing you know, we went to Sunday school together. And the next thing you know, we started dating. And I did their wedding yesterday. Now, do you think that was just a coincidence or a God incidence? You see, the invisible hand of God is at work. Well, let me give you the Obed action plan. Here's the action plan. See where God is working and join him. That's the great goal that God wants for all of his children. The Bible tells us in John 5, Jesus said, my Father's always at work. To this very day, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. In other words, we join his work. That's what God allowed Boaz to do. You see, Boaz became God's agent in Ruth's life. Boaz said in Ruth 2, verse 12, he said, you've come to Israel to find shelter under the wings of God. And Boaz became that shelter. Boaz became God's agent in Ruth's life. So the Lord wants us to be like Boaz and join his work. Well, let me complete this message by sharing with you my favorite and most powerful and personal example of the fulfillment of Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good for those who love and serve him. And this is the story of what's happened for my Jason and Catherine. You see their picture on the outline. That little baby's been born to them. His name is technically John, but really his name is Obed, because he is an outgrowth of the work of the invisible hand of God. Oh, some of you know the story. Jason and Catherine got married. Catherine had won the award in Georgia as the top actress in high school. And she dreamed of going to Hollywood one day and winning an Oscar and standing on that red carpet and making that her platform for sharing Christ. Well, they go to Hollywood. Jason's in Pepperdine Law School. And then out of the blue, like a lightning strike, she has a massive stroke at age 26. It's April 21st, 2008. No warning. But it almost slays her. It knocks her down as low as you can go without dying. The doctor didn't project that she would live, that if she did live, she would be a quadriplegic. Her brain function would be virtually zero. And yet God miraculously intervened. And my boy, my Jason, became her Boaz. My Jason joined God's work in lifting Catherine up. He didn't abandon her because she had a traumatic brain injury. And this wasn't the woman that he had married. But instead, he got closer and closer to her. To me, this is the quintessential picture of Jason carrying Catherine on his back. They were in rehab for 2 years at a hospital. He went to all the sessions with her. And he essentially, in my mind, figuratively, symbolically, and literally carried her out of the ditch of that stroke. For a year, he fed her everything that she received because she had a feeding tube in her stomach. Took her to the bathroom every time she needed to go. He went to all of the therapy sessions with her, and at the same time caring for a little boy. I call him Hercules, Romeo, Jesus, and Boaz, joining God's work. But now God's really done something special. Last year they spoke in 80 different venues. They've had 5 million hits on their Hope Heals Ministry website. As a matter of fact, they've now received a little baby, John. God miraculously enabled Catherine to survive. And now we've had a little boy arrive, a little boy that's a continuation and affirmation of this miracle. They just turned in their manuscript last month for a book they're entitling Hope Heals. As a matter of fact, this is the cover. You're the first group to see it. It's just been created. A true story of overwhelming loss and overcoming love. The editor told them last week, and this is an editor that's been with Zondervan for 15 years, she has never been as impacted by a story as this one. This will be one of Zondervan's featured books in 2016. It will be hardback and it'll also be in audio. Now, who could do that but God? You see, when you see God's invisible hand at work, when you trust Him, what does He do? He can take the worst and He can make all things work together for good for those who love Him and serve Him and are called according to His purpose. Well, we know the book of Ruth has a happy ending. It starts with a famine and a funeral, and it ends with a wedding and a baby being born. It has a happy ending. I like happy endings. Reminds me of the story of the little boy who wanted to pick out a puppy. He went to the pet store and he saw a pen of 10 puppies, and one little puppy was in there just furiously wagging his tail, and he said to his mother, "Mama, I want the puppy with the happy ending." Now, when you choose Jesus, you're choosing the happy ending and life that will never end. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You that Your invisible hand is always at work, moving all about us. I pray that Your invisible hand right now would open eyes, open ears, so that we could see Your work and hear Your call. Lord, we want to join Your work and start right now. I pray for that help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.